The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Ross. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Ross, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
If you like to make your NFL games a little bit more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. It is the Even Money Podcast. We are presented, of course, by DraftKings. My name's Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. I think most of you know that. Classic journeyman. It was awesome. Pretty cool temp job in my 20s. From 2001 to 2008, thank goodness, because it enabled me to be able to get these media gigs. I get to call a game every weekend, a lot of times two games, for CBS on television, Westwood One on the radio. I do the Eagles preseason games, which is always a lot of fun as well. I encourage you to check me out on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. Obviously, the College Draft Podcast is on fire this time of year, getting you ready for the NFL Draft and your NFL Draft prop bet. So listen to Emery on the College Draft Podcast. And then you get into everything going on the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Joe Dolan's fantastic. And if you just want to know what's going on with the NFL, Mike Lombardi was excellent on yesterday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast about why Belichick doesn't have a job right now, which is remarkable. It's one of the things I actually might ask our guy Steve Fezzik here momentarily. You can check me out on social at Ross Tucker NFL. Check us out at Ross Tucker Pod. Of course, patreon.com/RT Media is a great way to make sure you see all of our bets throughout the year, thanks to our grader, Sean Grady. And then youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL is how a lot of you consume the show via video. We also put the best social clips up there, as well as on our social platforms, at Ross Tucker Pod. The star of the show is Steve Fezzik. Huge fan, have been for a while. It's been 10 years now, at Fezzik Sports, that Steve and I have been together. Highly encourage you, if you want to see all of his picks for all of his sports, go into pregame.com. That's the only website you can ever find Steve. And, of course, you check him out on social at Fezzik Sports. It's funny, Steve. I got, like, a couple things already to talk to you about. Number one, talk with Mike Lombardi for yesterday's Ross Tucker Football Podcast about Belichick not having a job. Like, it really is pretty unbelievable, right? I mean, and I know there's reasoning, and I know there's logic. I know we can get into it. But, like, Pete Carroll is an awesome coach, wants to coach. Not coaching. Mike Vrabel, same. Belichick probably at the top of that. Like, there's something off there when, like, you have these really, really good coaches who presumably would like to be coaching, but none of the 32 teams actually hired them.
So what's interesting, and I don't get into politics, but there was a big Trump supporter, and he told me Belichick is too old. And a big Biden supporter told me, Pete Carroll, he's too old. Go figure.
Are you serious? Or is that just a joke?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Okay. I like that, though, Steve. I like a little bit of levity. There's a lot to get to today, right? Steve has done the work on the schedules already. We'll tell you why that matters, why that's important. Not only that, Steve referenced last week that sickscore.com, you know, all seven teams that were the healthiest in 2022 went under their season win total in 2023. He's got sort of the opposite of that for today, which is very valuable information. Then we got to get to some of these conference basketball tournaments, Steve, and maybe we'll just start there because we'll get to the NFL stuff in a little bit. But let's start with the conference basketball tournaments. They really start, I think some of them started yesterday. They, you know, the smaller ones are basically later on this week, and then the bigger ones are next week, and then a week from Sunday is Selection Sunday. I know from experience, Steve, on this show, that this is a big time of year for you when it comes to betting on conference tournament games. Refresh my memory as to why.
So I'm going to talk about winning, and I'm going to talk about losing. You know, winning at sports betting is not easy, Ross. And as an example, myself, I'm up like 500 units documented since 2013, but I'm down 13 units this year. So despite, you know, my doing my due diligence, doing what I've done, just hasn't gone well so far. Every conference I'm going to win, but I'm going to tell you how not to win. And that is to diligently study each and every conference and try to pick who's going to win the conference tourney. And the problem is that it's the old needle in the haystack idea, just that you're getting short paid across the board on all these teams versus if you played a mechanical parlay, you want to bet $100 and you want to bet Austin Peay to win their conference tourney, fine. Just bet them on the money line and just keep rolling it over going forward, and you will, in almost all cases, do better. So this is the time of year all the content providers try to act, and be cool. And they are cool, and they're fun to listen to. Just don't listen to their advice. Betting the conference tourneys, who's going to win, look for select spots to bet on teams. And one of the best spots, frankly, is they talk all the time about how hard it is to beat a team three times. So a team's beaten a team twice in the regular season, then they meet again in the conference tourney. You know what? It's not hard. Because if you have a good team and you have a bad team, the good team clobbers the bad team in the third meeting also. So in general, I would rather lay the points in that spot than to look to take the points with the much worse team.
You know, that's interesting because obviously if a team's already beaten them twice, they're the better team, right? Like, I mean, they're almost assuredly the better team in that situation. I think, I feel like I've seen the opposite in the sense that, Steve, I know people say it's hard to be a team three times, hard to be a team three times. I think there's a component of that, that you get to a certain point in the game, and unless the underdog, like, is playing with a lead, you get to a certain point in the game where they're like, yeah, this is what happens. They're just better than us. It's like a subconscious thing, I think, where they already know what happened the first two times they play. They know that they're better, probably. That doesn't mean they can't win the game. It's basketball, right? Like, anything can happen. You shoot great, they shoot poorly, they get that. But I do think that at some point, some of those games, there can be like a psychological component where it's like, you know the fact that they are better than you.
Exactly. And I think the refs know it also. I think that especially these smaller conferences, they want to put their best foot forward. They don't want the seven seed to go and represent the conference when it's a one bid league. So teams like Vermont, for instance, they always seem to get the favorable whistles and the like. In the back of the ref's mind, it's like, well, that's the better team. And I think it biases them slightly in their calling of the fouls.
Any other conference tournament thoughts, Steve, in terms of motivation? You know, there are certain teams that they need to win the tournament or win multiple games in the conference tournament to make the postseason. Then there's other teams that they're already in. They're already going to the big dance. And frankly, yes, they'd like to win the tournament, but I think a lot of them, they're already focused on March Madness.
Yeah, I think it's spot on. It really, you have to read the tea leaves, if you will. But like you look at the Big 12 tournament, Houston would like to win the Big 12 tournament, but they got bigger fish to fry, right? I mean, they're locked into their number one seed. So there's a team I would be careful investing in, because it just doesn't matter for them. They'd like to win it, but truth be told, their chances of winning the title are better if they got knocked out in their first game.
It is true. Anything else on conference tournament betting tips, Steve, that we need to know about?
I think they talk about rust versus rest. I think it's more important in a brand new venue. So one thing you might consider doing, especially like live wagering, if you got a team that played the night before and they're playing a superior team that's playing their first game in a venue and the inferior team gets ahead in the game, that could well be because, you know, they just played last night, same sight lines, etc. So maybe 8 minutes into the game, then things are going to revert towards the better team kicking butt more often than not. So I love those spots where a team comes in a little rusty, hasn't seen the venue before, and they're behind, and back them maybe at 8 minutes into the first half if they're down like 10-5.
Got it. Love it. All right, let's get into some of these schedule thoughts, because a lot of people don't talk about the schedule until the schedule is released, but that's not you.
Yeah, so the Cincinnati Bengals, my Cincinnati Bengals, because I'm from Dayton.
Steve, before you even get into a specific team, can you tell me about the importance of looking at the schedule now, why you do it, what the value is of that before, you know, the dates and times are known?
Surely. So what happens is that we know the 17 opponents, and every team, you know, has, obviously they play their six games in division, then they play two designated divisions, and then they play three, what I like to call wild card or field games. Call them field games, where if you're a fourth place team, you get to play three other fourth place teams. If you're a first place team, three other first place teams. That's the only difference. So the only difference between two teams, a first and a fourth place team, they play 14 of the same opponents, and they have three separate opponents. And it varies by team how significant that difference is. And all the time you hear about the advantages of a last place versus a first place schedule, but it all depends. The Bengals, for instance, were a last place team. So you're not getting any favors if you have to play the Bengals as one of your three last place team opponents, because you're facing, you know, a team every bit as that's certainly a Super Bowl contender.
Got it. That makes sense. So basically, the Bengals' big advantage, and I think you talked about this briefly last week, is they get to play three different last place teams that are probably like legit last place teams.
Spot on. So that's where the Bengals, and you know, kudos to DraftKings. And I'm going to give out an official play right now. They have division odds up at DraftKings. The Bengals to win the AFC North plus 170. The Bengals are going to win the AFC North. And here's why. They're not better than Baltimore necessarily, but they have such an advantage schedule-wise because they get to play three terrible fourth-place teams. They get to play Carolina, and they get to play Tennessee. Those are my two lowest-rated teams in the NFL. And they also get to play the Patriots, who I have a bottom-five team. So they get three cupcakes, essentially. At worst, they likely go 2-1. Now, contrast that with their opponents in the AFC North. So they have to play the rest of the AFC East. Really doesn't matter who gets who. Jets, Buffalo, Miami, three good teams. You take a look at the NFC South. Bengals play Carolina, terrible. Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, all average teams that the rest of the AFC North gets to play against. And then you look at the AFC South. Again, the Bengals get to beat up on the Titans, rebuilding. Whereas Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cleveland have to play Jacksonville, Houston, Indianapolis. Doesn't really matter which one of those teams are all slightly above average teams or average teams. So you can see at best their opponents will go 2-1. At worst, the Bengals will go 2-1. And further, Ross, the Bengals get three basically buys where they get to go ahead and maybe not call all the good plays and give away so much. I find, I want to ask you as a former professional football player, was that like a mini vacation when you were like a 12-point favorite against a team that you could go ahead and just relax, get the win, and get a little healthier?
Absolutely not.
Interesting.
No thought of that at all. You never know that. You never think of it that way. You never look at it that way because you know there's good players on the other team and you know you've been on the other side and you've won those games. Oh, my God. Steve, your coaches would slaughter you if you said that or thought that. And anyway, you know what you need to do? You're talking about the AFCs. Steve, you need to drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. A perfect, by the way, conference tournament beer this weekend. Plus, while you're watching the games, DiGiorno knows it's not easy to plan these watch parties. You got to have the perfect everything. Setting, squad, eats. Luckily, you're a game time mastermind, and you know that grabbing DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza can bring home a dub because it's packed with half a pound of cheese, sauce, and other toppings. Comes at an incredible price. Make the game-winning call. Grab a DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza from the grocery store today. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. Wow. You know, that really does seem like a pretty significant advantage for the Bengals, Steve. I mean, and that's great that you already saw that. So they don't have, like, DraftKings doesn't have season win totals up yet, but you can, for not every team, but you can, two things on this, right? Number one, you can bet them plus 170 to win the division, which is awesome. Secondly, they'll probably have the season win totals posted before the actual NFL schedule release, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I fully expect that to come up, and certainly I am extremely bullish on the Bengals because they caught every break with the field games on their schedule.
So is that why, Steve, you've already done the work on the schedule? Because you already know, you want to have some idea of what you're like. We don't really know. They don't always announce when the season win total number is going to come out. But you know, like, you got to pounce within, what, the first half hour of when they're released. So you have to have done the work ahead of time, right?
Yes, and I do have my initial numbers for each and every team. Now, let me see if I have them on my spreadsheet here. I do not, but I went ahead and projected them. I've got them on a separate spreadsheet, what I expect them to be. And then, you know, pulling back the curtain as a professional sports bettor, Ross, you love it when someone dips their toe in the water that maybe isn't quite at the same level of handicapping than some other books are. So I don't want the Westgate to open up season win numbers. I have extreme respect for the Westgate handicappers. I would much rather a Peppermill or an Atlantis up in Reno go ahead and take their first kick at the can with these numbers. I think it was the Peppermill for years put up MLB season win numbers before anybody else in the world. So you love that because their numbers won't be as sharp. And then oftentimes a lot of other books will copy those soft numbers, much better for a professional gambler.
Ooh, interesting. Speaking of interesting, Steve, are there any other like schedule thoughts that really jump out to you in a major way?
Not yet. I go through typically division by division, and I'm not ready to really discuss all this other than to say, obviously, you don't want to play the AFC North because that's the one division that has four teams all projected to have winning records. Probably Pittsburgh will be like, they might be lined at 8.5 over Mike, minus 135. But usually you get a break with one bad team in each and every division, and they're just not there in the AFC North.
It's interesting, Steve, because last week you talked about, and by the way, next week we're going to dive into Steve's background a little bit, really looking forward to it. I never really knew like how you grew up in high school, college. Like, I like to know people's background, especially when I've been around them as much as I've been around you now. But last week you mentioned on the show, Steve, about the seven teams that had the healthiest teams in 2022 all went under their season win total. Well, I had somebody retweeted the show at Ross Tucker Pod and said the Browns will be on the other side of this next year, meaning the Browns were one of the most injured teams in 2023. I know you talked a lot last week about at Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, as well as SixScore.com. SICScore.com. What is the flip side of it? I know you've already done the work. Maybe you got the numbers from Dr. Chow. Maybe it's post. I don't know if it's post at SixScore or not, SixScore.com or not, or you just because your relationship with him, now that you know him, he gave you the info. But who are the five most injured teams? I don't know, five, seven, whatever, most injured teams 2023. And are you, how much of that are you weighing for their season win total numbers when they come out? Are you just blindly betting them? Yep. Or is it just a strong lean?
Yeah, you're too kind, Ross. You're like, oh, Steve's done the work. Yeah, Dr. Chow has done the work. And I'm like Charlie Sheen in Wall Street, where I'm like, I'm just like going into like the Dr. Chow files late at night, you know, pretending to be a janitor and like with my flashlight and getting his information and then using it. No, he provided it to me. So in 2022, if you looked at the five most injured teams and you bet on them, you did go 3-2 to the over. So it wasn't 7-0, but it was 3-2 on the top five. So I looked at this year, who got injured the most? Spot on, Ross. The Jets, the most injured team, the worst sports injury central score. So we're high on the Jets. We're also high on New England. You mentioned it. Cleveland, Arizona, and Carolina. And of those five teams, the one I wanted to comment on was Arizona. Because think about this, Arizona, despite being a top five injured team last year, and they basically met expectations, they won four games. They were supposed to win anywhere from 4.5 to 3.5 games last year. So everything went wrong for them injury-wise. They still managed to win four games, and my goodness, they kept losing so many close games. This is the first time in the history of football I had a team, I upgraded Arizona 5 points over the course of the season from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So they were almost a touchdown better football team by the end of the year than to start the year, and yet they still only won four games. I don't even know how that's possible. I think you can only look towards playing the Arizona Cardinals to go over in 2024.
But you say that without us knowing what their number is.
Well, but they're, since they won four games, I would think that their number's probably going to be
6.5.
6.75. 6.5 shaded the over, or 7 shaded
Man,
the under.
I love that. I'm getting good at this. The fact that
you are
6.5, 7, and you said 6.75.
Exactly. And so in fact, I would be willing to make a substantial bet that the opening number on Arizona is anywhere between 6.5 and 7.0. And I'm rarely wrong. Every now and then it does happen. You know, every now and then a number gets posted that's off my numbers, but it usually gets hammered towards my number immediately.
I love it, Steve. I also love the email questions. We get a lot of them for you. As a reminder, if you take advantage of any, and I mean any of our sponsors, send me the email, ross@rostucker.com. You'll get to ask Steve a question. At Fezzik Sports is his social media. You can also just buy a story for someone, a gift, myfrontpagestory.com. That counts as well. This is from William Kennedy. I have a mathy question for Steve. It seems teaser, in particular Wong teasers, have become very popular. But I was wondering how he grades a teaser bet that would have hit anyway. For instance, taking -8 to -2, but the -8 covers. Everyone seems to count this as a win since you ultimately profit, but you essentially just took two -280 bets instead of -110. Do pro bettors account for this different in order to improve their forecasting moving forward? I always feel like an idiot when this happens, tends to be wary about taking teasers. Then I learn that way on the when I lean that way on the original line anyway. Wow, this is a little bit like mathy for me too.
Yeah, so the idea is like, wow, I won a teaser and both my favorites kicked butt and covered and won by 10. Why did I tease it? Why didn't I just parlay it, right? And the bottom line, no, the pros don't like account for those teaser wins differently. The warning, danger, math coming. If you look at a -8, they're going to cover about 50% of the time. If you tease them down to -2, they're going to cover that teaser 75% of the time. And it turns out that by playing the teasers and covering 3/4 of the time, well, now the teaser is going to win 9/16 of the time, 3/4 times 3/4 when you pair it with another -8. And so you're going to do, even if you break even on the -8 and they only cover 50%, you're actually going to make money with the teaser because the teaser is going to win 9/16 of the time. That's the math behind the Wong teaser.
Got it. So, and it seemed like he was talking about how you almost grade yourself knowing that you could have done it the other way. I don't know. I mean, you know the math now in terms of what you're going to be able to accomplish. I wasn't sure exactly, to be honest with you, what he was even asking at first.
Yeah, well, you just feel like a dope when you play a teaser, when both, like, if you tease Kansas City and Buffalo and they both win by 14, and you're like, wow, you know, I got even money on that. I could have gotten plus 260 if I would have just played, you know, the parlay. So, I mean, it happens. Pros don't second guess themselves for that.
So here's the deal. Next week, I cannot wait to talk with Steve because, number one, we're going to dive into his background, as I mentioned earlier. We also need to get your thoughts on March Madness, Steve. Now, we'll have time to break down the bracket the week after, but, you know, next week, the brackets will be coming out on Sunday. I also know it's a great popular place for people to go out for March Madness, so maybe you'll have some tips for them there as well. We'll talk about both those things next week. Check him out on social at Fezzik Sports. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for tuning in to Even Money. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.